So we're going to get into this tonight. How many was here last week? Hands, let me see hands. How many was here? How many tuned in last week? Probably the last two series, the last series I did on favor and last week was probably the most receptive as far as text messages, calls, social media posts that I've ever seen in this house. People really was touched at a deep place, and I know it's the Holy Spirit that does the teaching. And so last week we talked about seeing yourself with love, what that looks like. It's so imperative to get this message, and tonight we're going to get a whole lot deeper than last week. And last week was pretty deep. And so now depth can't be measured by information. It can only be measured by transformation. And so it's imperative that the depth that you connect to is determined by your ability to receive tonight. Sometimes you have to allow yourself to receive. You have to give permission for yourself to receive. Because some of us have it in our mind, in our makeup, to not receive. Some of us have it in our thinking to not allow anything else to penetrate the borders that we've put up. Because they're protective borders. You live life long enough, you start building walls in your heart. And they're there for protection in your own mind. They're there to protect you. But the problem with the wall is it doesn't just keep things from getting in. It also keeps things from getting out. And you're never going to grow if things do not have an exit in your heart. You're only going to become the product of what is stored up in your heart. From the abundance of a man's heart. Come on, somebody. His mouth speaks. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so tonight we're going to get into this thing. And I just want you to, just for a second, bow your head. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love. We live in a day that is scattered with information. Information is at our fingertips, but not truth. Truth is found in a journey. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, that tonight that your love breaks through the thickest barriers, that you will help somebody see light in a season of darkness, that you'll give them the courage to take the journey that you have ordained for them to take. Help them to hear the call of freedom tonight in their own life. I come against the spirit of condemnation. Right now, I come against the spirit of condemnation that would come and would start to speak to them. And Father, right now, you had said where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so right now, we give you full access to liberate. Right now, in Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Y'all ready? I'm going to go back to Matthew 22, just real quick, swing over there. Matthew 22, and I'm just going to pick up where I left off last week and try to make as much time as I can. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get to all of this, but everybody say this: see yourself with love. This is going to be a major paradigm shift for a lot of us, and so we're going to talk about what this is in depth. So let's get into this, Pastor Tim, when you are ready, sir. Let's read. What is the great commandment? Look at verse 36.
Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
Now, as a grace teacher, I've traveled a lot of places teaching grace. It's beautiful to see at this point because everybody seems to be in grace and embracing the new covenant and all these things. And it's beautiful because when I first started teaching grace, I was deemed a heretic. But one generation's heretic is the next generation's hero. And it's funny because Paul is the original grace teacher. I always hear, well, man, so you're trying to say we don't, so you're trying to tell me the Ten Commandments is bad, that we're not under the law? Yes, I'm telling you that you are not righteous because of your ability to obey the law. Paul made it very clear that the letter that was engraved in stone, that's the Big Ten, y'all, was the ministry of condemnation and death. It's not because the law was bad. Come on, somebody. It's because we had an inability to keep it. So while you're sitting here bragging about, I can do this and I can do that, we're under the law, you need to realize, you need to check what type of clothing you're wearing, because if you got two different fabrics on, you're against the law. If you, brothers, if you got a fade, you're against the law. There's so many different things in 613 different laws that we are breaking every day. It was never designed to live up to. It was designed to point us to our failures so that by the time Christ got there, we say, how can we do this? He says, I'm glad you asked, only through me. This is why Christ came. Now, there's a whole lot of teaching I could do. That's not my point here tonight. But this is what Jesus says. So when someone says to me, Pastor Gail, you're telling me the Big Ten are bad? No. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of those things are good, but when you love yourself right and love God right, you don't want to kill. You don't want to covet. You don't want to steal. That's why Jesus said they're all summed up in this. When we learn to love us right, we start doing right. The basis of your change is not for them. You have to change because of what God is doing in you. I'm going to give you a little bit of a wisdom nugget here that I think you probably already know. But there's not enough good you can do to ever win your critics over. Some people are assigned to hate you. And you absolutely need a Judas so you can get your tail to a cross. Because in your death, that a resurrection happens. You need those people that are hating on you, those people that are looking down on you, those people that never think you're going to win. You need them in your life. Amen for the Judases. That's why Jesus allowed it to happen with a kiss. You got to learn to love your Judas. Without a Judas, there's no cross. Without a cross, there's no resurrection. Without a resurrection, there's no new you. I'm teaching already now. You can't want the resurrection life but not embrace the death at the cross. So looky here. So we're getting to this. Everybody say, love God. Love me. So watch this. I want to go over here to, we're going to get a little deeper into this thing here tonight because this is major. How many remember last week when I was talking about loving yourself, I said, if, and I put this down, you're not ready for a relationship if spending time with you is tormenting. If you spending time with you is tormenting, you're not ready for anybody else. Before you can do a successful relationship externally, you have to do it internally. Some of us are jumping into relationships hoping to find us. That is the wrong way to do it. Come on, somebody. You don't jump into a relationship so you can discover you. That's not how that works. God designed isolation so that he's the only one that has access to you. Come on now. He designed isolation so that he's the only one that has access to us. If we do not go through a season of isolation in our life, we will never learn to know and love ourselves. You are chasing your authentic self and you don't even know it. Every time you step into a relationship, you're going the opposite direction than the authentic self is wanting you to go. Every time you jump into something that you was not called to jump into, just to numb whatever it is you're trying to avoid, you are going the opposite direction of what God is wanting you to be. And you're going to be like a dog tied to a fence, circling, 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 circling. You can get tired and never go anywhere. You can break a sweat and never go anywhere. You can gain momentum and never go anywhere. I've seen this guy before, different face, same spirit. See, learning to love yourself starts with the courage to take the journey that God wants you on. And that means sometimes you're going to have to, most times, do it by yourself. You'll never know the power of the Holy Spirit if you do not lean on Him and Him only. You're going to have to lean on Him at some season in your life to know that He's enough. That way, when the crowd is trying to go against what God said to do in your life, you have enough confidence to know you got enough to get through this. We want you to come, but we don't need you to. Why? Because I've built a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Woo. Look at here. I want to go here to Proverbs 17:17. Y'all ready? Oh, my Lord. I'm asking for Holy Spirit to help me teach this thing tonight because there's a lot here. Everybody say love is our natural habitat. Love is our natural habitat. To take us out of our natural habitat changes the way we do life. It changes your psychology. It changes the way you think. You start to go in protection mode when you should be in the receiving mode. Because you're out of your natural habitat. You've learned all the lessons you learned in life was from defense. You're out of your natural habitat. Love is my natural habitat. You're designed for love. You're designed to grow up with affection, with nurturing. It's not normal. Those of us, how many was born in a broken home? Come on now. Don't be, it is what it is. I got both hands up. Broken home. How many had both parents and it was still broken? Come on now. Presence doesn't always mean it ain't broken. You can be in a place and not be in a place. Come on now. You could be here and not present. Some of y'all in a building, but you ain't here. So we're not, you have to know that we are not designed as human beings to function in an environment that does not have nurturing. Unconditional love. I'm not talking about the type of love that you have to earn and work and do all this stuff for. I'm talking about unconditional love. We're born from that. The Bible says that God is agape. Sweet, ain't it? God is agape. God, someone said, Pastor, how you got a tattoo? You a pastor, man. In the book of Revelation, Jesus got a tattoo on his thigh. I'll give you that scripture later. I'm not saying go get a sleeve. You gotta love VC. I got the most spiritual carnal mix. Yeah. I think it's better to have tats and be spiritual than have suits and be carnal. Sorry, so that was a low blow. My bad. It's all right. I'm only saying that because tomorrow I got this other one that's going right here. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I'm probably done for a month. Right. So everybody say love is our natural habitat. All right? When you grow up, and I want to talk about trauma for a second. When you grow up in a broken home, dad isn't there. You may say, yeah, but mom was strong. Mom is strong, but mom can never take the place of a dad. A dad may be loving, but he'll never be able to nurture like a mother. There is a reason why they are to be in the home together. Our design is different. The way we think is different. We are uniquely both holding the part of God. You know, some will say, well, God is a man. No, he's not. He's a spirit. He's a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's Adam. You think he was a man? How did he pull a man with a womb out of him? There's a lot of theology there I could go into. We don't really know what Adam was before the division. All we know is that God put his nature in the relationship between a man and a woman. And somewhere in the middle, kids are raised and nurtured through the strengths that both of them have. Both of them. I can't raise my kids the right way without that woman. I may do a bang-up job, and she may do a good job, and they may grow up to be respectable. And thank God for the people who the cards was dealt to them, and they had to do what they did by the grace of God. Thank God that God makes up the difference where it counts. I'm not condemning nobody here. What I'm trying to get you to see is there is a divine order to this thing called nurturing. And so when we deal with trauma, when you're not raised in the natural habitat that is love, what happens is we start thinking from a dysfunctional mindset. We start building psychologies in our head that we don't know it at the moment, but it does go against us. Some of us are so jaded because we have a perspective about life that is coming from one side of a thing. Jesus died in the middle for a reason. Anything that swings too far to the right or the left, truth is never there. It's usually right in the middle. And we have to understand what happens to us when we are raised in an environment that is not love. Stuff happens. The way deceptions happen is a heart will become offended, and rather than give it to God, we pile information on it. And then you have what we call false doctrine. Any time that you stand in the position of offense, not yielding to the Holy Spirit, but then gather information to yourself, the information, information forms. There's a forming that takes place. It's not there to sit there as just some type of thought in your head. It's actually transforming, informing us. It changes our very nature. I was reading up on the Michigan State shooting. Terrible, 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 terrible. You hear what the father said? He said, my son used to be very sweet until the death of his mother, then something changed, he became evil. What do you think changed him? It's deeper than trauma. He lost an attachment that he needed in his life, and he did not know how to filter the loss. And when we don't see loss the right way, whew, destruction follows. When we don't bear loss the right way, destruction follows. Are y'all with me here tonight? This is life stuff here that we need to get. So watch this. Here we go. Let's dig. Proverbs 17:17. Everybody say it one more time. Love is my natural habitat. Watch this. Let's go.
A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
Woo, stop right there. A friend loves at all times. A brother's born for adversity. What is that saying? This is the type of relationship that doesn't abandon me. You know, it's funny, man, and I struggle with this, and to this day I still struggle with this. How many want to flow in more revelation? I'll give you a good key. Get more honest about your journey. Revelation doesn't just come through reading scriptures. It comes through interpreting you through the Holy Spirit. Then the scripture comes alive. And so what's happening here is when we're hurt. Now, I grew up without a father. My dad was a stone-cold alcoholic, beat my mom. I was in her arms one time. He grabbed a 12-gauge, put it to her head, said, if you go to that church, because they met in the bar. And it wasn't Dad's fault. They was compatible in the bar. Problem was when she came to Jesus, the compatibility broke. That's why it's so imperative that you do not make a decision in a relationship until you have a relationship with God. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, is he can see you're going to be compatible. He knows both journeys. Listen to the Holy Spirit, not your needs. Said that right there. Listen to the Holy Spirit, not your needs. And so what happened is, I grew up with trauma. And so as a very young man in high school, I grew up, I was very angry. I mean, who gets kicked out of first grade? First grade! I don't even know what I did, Mom told me. I was like, what did I do? Steal chocolate milk? Sent me home. I'm like, good Lord. We're moving schools. We're doing all kinds of stuff. My dad was trying to steal us. He didn't lose the custody. Well, he lost it, but he didn't show up to court because he had a warrant. It was bad for him all the way around. He had no chance of that custody battle. Problem is, he was trying to pick us up after school and steal me and my brother. He would get drunk, and then he would get out of his mind. He would come, so they had to sneak us a lot of times after school. So my mom ended up moving somewhere else, didn't tell my dad. It was a long story. I had this anger in me because as a kid, I'm too young to be able to understand what's happened in the marriage, that my mom's running for her life. If she don't leave, she's going to die. I'm too young to know any of that stuff. All I have is the trauma, but I'm trying to figure out how to fix it, because when you're young and you're not able to comprehend what's happening, what happens is you put it in your subconscious. And as a kid, my job at that point was to, how can I fix this? Because somehow I'm interpreting Dad leaving as my fault. And so I started taking it in. And now you get to this older man, I'm in my 20s, and all of a sudden I've got all this trauma that's happening. And I got all these things. I got problems with lying. I got problems with pretending. I got problems with all of these type of things because I don't want to let nobody down. I want everybody to see what only I'm showing them, because I don't trust anybody to see the real me and remain. Then if I think I may have some love for you, what I'm going to do is allow you to see enough just to test how real it is. So I'm going to try to drive you away by showing you what I can. Because I don't believe if you see the real me, you're going to remain. Because people make judgments with bad information. They don't need to see the real stuff. They just need to see the fruit. They don't need to see what caused the trauma. This all right tonight? It's going to get a lot better. I know it's real. It's real stuff. And so I would push people away. And it was a defense mechanism. Why? Because I was afraid to let anybody get close. Not because you couldn't bear the stuff that I was going to show you, but I just, in my heart, I believed, I looked at everything in my world like my dad. You was another manifestation of my dad leaving me in a time that I absolutely needed you. You're a different face. But we go into this self-fix mode. And we do it without knowing we're doing it. We start holding every relationship hostage. He was unable to figure out at a time when we should have never had to bear it. It was never my fault. So I'll drive everybody away. The scripture says a friend loves at all times. I used to think I had a whole bunch of friends. When I was young, they was like, no, you're lucky if you have one or two friends. I was like, man, you just can't play basketball real good. I got a whole bunch of friends. Like, in my mind, I was trying to justify, like, you just ain't popular, man. I'm that guy. I get kicked out of school, and they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, they're my friends. I had no concept how to judge a friend. I just had a whole bunch of cheerleaders. I realize now, in my 40s, it's very rare to find a friend. A friend that can see you in your absolute worst. I love this next part where it says, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. When you find this person, they are born. When you're going through the hell in your life, a brother's born for that. They know how to lock arms with you. Say, I see your dirt. Let's go. We're going to get this right. Yeah. I see your pain. Let's go. We're going to get this right. Yeah. They're born for that. What is that saying? That is our natural habitat. Yeah. Love. That's what love does. It's born for adversity. This is why many of us don't want to take the journey to our authentic self. Why? Because you're going to realize, though you're in a crowd, you are all alone. You thought she was your girl. You thought he was your dude. Man, no. They're just along for the ride. You can't test a relationship truly until there's adversity. My God. You think he's the one because y'all had a good time at the movies? You better wait till something pops off before you even consider praying for that. Because I'm telling you, people will flip on you in a hot second. You talking about we had a good time. He might be the one you about to make. Listen, call Shawnee, put the counseling session in now. Pencil you in now. Shawnee, they need 3 times a week. I'm teaching tonight. Okay, y'all ready? Put this down. I want you to put it down the way that you remember it, the way it affects you. Only when compassion is present will people allow themselves to see truth. That's profound. See, a brother is built for adversity. There are things about us that need to heal. I know you go to church. I know you pay your tithe. I know you do all the stuff that, you know, the B-I-B-L-E told you to do. But that doesn't mean anything. We can hide very easily. We're professional at it. I mean, the first game we all learn in life is what? Hide and seek. Unless you're from 7 Mile. I had to throw it out there. Sorry. There's different games on 7 Mile. I don't know. I just had to throw it out. Did that offend you? See, you need healing. That's why. No, I'm kidding. It's a little side joke. So look at brothers born for a time of adversity. It's only in those relationships. Now, I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit here. Watch this. It's only when compassion is present will we allow ourselves to see the truth. Some of us will not even allow ourselves to see what is necessary for healing simply because the atmosphere it's coming in does not reflect the nature we're trying to receive. It's not just about what's being spoken, it's how it's being spoken. If you did something stupid, how many ever done something stupid? You know what stupid means in the Greek? Stupid. When I do something dumb, my wife's got this thing she does to me. Dooey, 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 dooey. She did it to me yesterday at the mall, y'all. Shawnee, why are you laughing at her? And she does it with her neck. Like, dooey, I just want to just, oh, gets me. We was buying a Girl Scout cookie. Somebody say amen for those. And I was trying to get them things yesterday, and the lady set a price that I didn't hear. She said 20, doy, 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 doy. And the lady started laughing. I'm like, both y'all, you better get off the man of God. I'm going to pray down fire. I don't want them stupid cookies anyway. I'll take 4 boxes of them mugs. So when you do something stupid, if I was to say to you, why did you do that? How would you interpret that? Most of us would interpret that like, man, he's right, man. That was stupid. That's not what I'm asking, though. That's just what you're hearing. Why are you hearing it that way? Because you was born in trauma. And it's got your mindset and your hearing hijacked. You think I'm against you. That is your default at this point. That's your programming at this point. Why? Because you think life is against you. Why? Because you was abandoned. Why? Because you endured trauma. Why? Because you didn't understand it. So your is there against me. So when I say, why would you do that? We both agree it was stupid, but I'm not asking, why did you do that? Doy, doy, doy. I'm asking, why would you do that? What caused you to get to a point to where your thinking would even justify doing that action? The whys in your life are what leads you to the authentic self. Whys are not against you. They're for you. I hope this is helping somebody tonight. Whys are for you. You have to ask yourself, why would I do that? Why would I make that stupid decision? Not in condemnation, but because I truly need to understand what is the driving force in this decision. I want to know why did I even like that dude? He don't love God. He don't value this. He don't value that. He is nothing like me. Why am I even making that? Why am I entertaining this? He stands for everything that's against what God is doing in my life. Why am I entertaining it? Why do I need to feel accepted so bad? Why do I need his approval so bad? Why does it matter so bad? You ask enough whys, you go back to the original point of the pain. Now God can do something. Whys go backward, but it's nothing but a bow and arrow. The farther you go back, the farther it launches you into the future. When God is getting ready to do a prophetic thing in your life, you better believe he's pulling it back. The distance that you go in the future God has for you determines on your ability to let the Holy Spirit go back. The funny thing is God doesn't have forward or back in him anyways. It may feel like he's going back, but sometimes the future is back. Y'all catch this? You got to quit thinking of God the way that we think of time and all of the measurements and all of the things that we think in our worldly wisdom. This is God. You can go back in God and it's still now. You can go forward in God and it's still now. That's why Jesus said the time is coming and now when they will worship me in spirit and in truth. How do you have time coming and it is now at the same time? It's God. It's God. Woo, is this okay? Man, we are judging ourselves so harshly. What my goal is tonight is to get judgment off of you. What you did was dooey, 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 right? Just turn to someone and say, dooey, dooey, dooey. Yeah, you got to do it like Pastor Shawnee with your whole head and just hit me one time with it, baby. What is it? Dooey, dooey. Oh, it's deeper. She said, dooey, dooey, dooey. She a professional dooey, dooey. I don't know what that is, but it'll irritate you. From now on, just see when you start doing something, dooey, dooey, dooey. Just do it. That dooey, dooey will save your life. Dorian, that's the name of this sermon, Doy Doy. But we have to quit judging ourselves. What you did is over. The consequences may not be over. But never mistake punishment for pruning. God doesn't do the punishing, sin does. God does the pruning. Okay? Never mistake those two. Now, then I want you to understand something. Everybody say, I need to quit judging myself. All right? And understand that what is going to free you to become who you authentically are called to be is understanding, not judgment. Judgment runs much faster than understanding. They can't race. Judgment gets to your mind way faster than understanding ever will. Man, I don't know. Did y'all catch that? Judgment gets to our thinking way faster than understanding. You do a doy-doy moment, you want to judge yourself, right? The judgment comes in. But if you'll remove the judgment because you know there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ and you start asking the right whys, then understanding becomes available to you. Once you understand a thing, you can bear it much differently. You would be amazed at what you can bear once you understand why you're bearing it. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you just a couple more. Y'all still with me? I need you to really stretch your thinking here tonight. If you're not doing it already, think about this, because this is the part that I just need the Holy Spirit to help me with here. Because you can feel a thing. All you pastors in the house that teach and preach, hear me on this one. It's in the notes, but I got to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach it now. Sometimes you'll feel a thing in study that you don't feel in the moment. And that's when you just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit talk. Yeah. Most people die in between their attachments and their authenticities. There's things that we're attached to that we need. I'm not talking about toxic attachments. I'm talking about necessary attachments. You need it to survive. There's no way you cannot survive. There's no way to know yourself without this. One of them is a mother. As soon as we had Haven, my wife was in the hospital and she had a C-section, and as they grabbed Haven out, we got this little, it's hard to imagine her that small now, had this little baby that, wing, crying, right? She's crying. Don't get mad because she's in a new world. It's hard to live in a new world if you don't have something from the old world. God doesn't just kick you into a new thing and just say, well, here, learn it all now. No. He's more graceful than that. He'll ease you into it. Take a foot here. Keep a foot there. Put a hand here. Keep a foot there. This is why a doctor grabs the baby and the first thing they do is put it skin to skin to the mother. Why? He's familiar with that. He just came out of that. He's been living off of that body. It represents the old. I'm not just birthing a thing. Isn't just throwing somebody into the new and saying, figure it out. That's not how this works. That's not how God transitions you. He doesn't just say, boof, figure it out. There you go. Now you're healed. No, your healing needs understanding. So he puts you to the mother. There's a couple things I wrote down as I'm studying this natural habitat thing. Because this is the way it's designed, is for a baby to come into the world still experiencing, and the first affection it experiences something that it actually has a memory of. And that's the mama. They don't put it on the dad. I played a part, but the life wasn't created here. The baby develops an appetite from the mama. The baby's brain function, when they put it skin to skin, here's some of the things that they're saying scientifically that happens. Jesus, y'all ready for this? The baby starts its digestive system. His digestive, inside his stomach and his digestive system starts to pretty much get going the moment of contact. From the mother, skin to skin. Another one is that It has better body temperature maintenance. Another one is it cries less often. Another one is it has improved weight gain. This is all because of love, y'all. I told you love's the natural habitat. The baby is simply skin to skin. Nothing to hide. Just with the mama. Come out of a fresh season, a moment of pain, and now it's all love. Higher blood oxygen levels. Experiences more stable heartbeat and breathing. Long-term benefits such as improved brain development. Why would it be improved brain development? Because it's being cultivated and originated in love and affection. There is no anything in the earth that mimics the agape love of God more than a mother. You can be a dirty dog that the whole world hates, but mama won't. She'll disapprove of your actions, but you will always be her boy. There's something there chemically that happens in the skin-to-skin touch. Y'all catching this? More successful at breastfeeding immediately after birth. Spend increased time in every important deep sleep and quiet alert states. creates peaceful sleeping. This is all simply from contact. No words given. No speech given. No songs given. Just simply touching love. Creates brain function from a healthier perspective. What happens when we are growing up and we are not in our natural habitat? We function differently. Why? We're not made for it. Pastor, I read all kinds of stuff. I was reading zoology today. Love animals. You know, right now there's a great reformation happening at the local zoos. And what they're trying to do, scientists are finding all kinds of information out in animals that we have had captive forever, that we never knew about these animals. And the only way we found out was we took them out of captivity and then watched how they behaved in freedom. There is certain animals that are on the verge of extinction, and they could not figure out how come they would put a male and a female together, but they would not breed. Why would they not breed? Because captivity. They was captive. Why was they not breeding? They was captive. It was doing something to the way they think. They stopped caring about. Now, it is a God thing that he instills in everything he created to be fruitful and multiply. They were throwing that out the window because something about their captivity was causing them to be something God did not make them. And to study them, science says, we got to get them out of there because they're not acting like they're supposed to act. So they took all these monkeys and all these fish and they put them in a natural habitat, and they found that they started breeding. Some of them was over 500 miles away from each other and found them, and they started breeding. They was next to each other in captivity, never touched each other. You put them in freedom 500 miles, they swam to get right next to each other. Why? Because it's how God designed them. So science would study them and learn stuff about them. Why? They was in their natural habitat. What am I saying? You will never find you in captivity, man. You will never be able to find the authentic you while you're in captivity. And to say it, we live in a world, man, to where the things that we're supposed to be attached to that breathe life to us, we live in a world to where we have to pick, am I going to be authentic to me, or am I going to stay where I attached to something that I need to survive? And unfortunately, we live in a world to where most people can't do both. So you have to abandon your true self to stay attached to something just to survive a life that you don't even know you want to be in. I don't know if we caught that. You're supposed to have both. You're supposed to grow up in an environment to where you've got all the things you need from this life-giving source. And it's supposed to empower you on a journey to find your true self. You're never supposed to become what you're attached to. I did. You're never supposed to, just because you're attached to it don't mean you're cloned by it. I can give you a thing without you becoming a thing. You got to go on this journey to your authentic self. One more scripture. Can I do this? Are y'all with me tonight? See, this is one of them things you go back and you listen to this. And I promise you, you can say, I never caught that the night he was preaching it. Well, it's going to hit you Monday on your way to work. Watch. My God. There's so much. I don't even have time for all this. I'm going to have to make another week on this. All right, come here, Tiff. Let me use you real quick. Everybody say self-love. No, the other Tiff. Yep, sorry. Yeah, I got two Tiffs now. Yeah. Here. I've got a 20-pound weight here, 25-pound. This one's heavy. 5-pound. I want you to do, just grab it. Give me these. Sorry. It drives her crazy, though. I want 20 reps. Just 20 reps, whatever one you grab. I need 20 reps, though. Why would you pick that one up? Why would you pick that one up? Exactly. You see what she just said? Self-love never bears weight it cannot do. Y'all catch that? Why she pick up the light away? Because she knows she can do it. Self-love is also self-knowing. You good, Tiff. I see the veins popping. We got work on that form, though. Self-love is aware of its limits. Getting to know yourself, you're going to have to put no in your dialogue. Come on now. Some of you guys are putting way too much on you. You're asking for relief from God. And it's simply a simple no that delivers it. You have to start treating you right. You're not strong enough to do this yet. If you want to get stronger, God will say, pick it up and do what you can. But he'll never say, give me 30 when you can't. Why? Because he's not trying to set you up for failure. In the Old Testament, the journey to Canaan was only a few days, really, maybe a week. They went 40 years around. Bible says in one passage that God would have took them one way, but they would have seen a certain enemy, and they would have seen war, and they would have ran. So God took them another way. Why? Because God will never take you away to where there's something you have to confront. You're not prepared to win. He'll take you the long way until your strength gets there. Man. Woo! Last point, Genesis. Man, guys, I'm just trying to get you to see this. You know, how many know somebody who's an addict in something? You all better raise your hand because you got that. You, all of you, an addict. Yeah, you're maybe not a drug addict. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's Facebook. Come on now. Everybody's addicted to something. And you may say, well, this guy's got a worse addiction than me. Not really. Not really. They're both numbing agents. You know what an addiction is? An attempt to solve a problem. That's all an addiction is your attempt to solve a problem where there's a deficiency. I was watching an interview with Vince McMahon. If you guys, the WWE guy, this guy is probably one of the most brilliant guys of our generation. He packs out stadiums with fake fighting. They said, man, how do you do it? He says, I sell distraction, not wrestling. I said, preach at my church, doc. How do you do it? I sell distraction, not wrestling. They're coming to be distracted. If you say, well, that sounds crazy, then you have been to Disneyland too. We pay for distraction. Why? Because our life is not where we want it to be. And when you're afraid to take the journey to the authentic self, you'll pay for a distraction that keeps you numb. Last point, and I'm done. Can I do this? Genesis chapter 3. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Genesis 3, Pastor Tim, let's read.
They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
Look at that.
Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?
So go back here. Look at here. Verse 10. Watch this. Swing back up there. Lord God called to the man. He said, where are you? He didn't say, Adam, what have you done? He didn't show up when Adam messed up and said, what have you done? He said, man, where are you? The sin here is hiding. This is the great delusion that we face in our lives. What is keeping us back? The first thing is our hiding, man. Someone said to me a year ago, y'all remember when I got up here and said, man, listen, guys, God's trying to deliver me from this thing. I've got alcohol has jumped on my life. I'm trying to. Y'all remember that? How many was here? Come on now. Don't leave me hanging. That's where I need amen. Ever since my dad died, all kinds of stuff was manifesting in my life. Stuff that I never would have thought. And I told pastors, they would say, man, dude, I can't believe you did that. Man, you could have lost your whole church. I said, yeah, or my soul. Man, this matters a whole lot more than this. Like, I would be a hypocrite to tell you to come out of hiding, and I'm up here hiding. It don't matter. I'm not saying you got to expose everything. Some things, you know, God will walk you through that in his grace. But man, my God, man, hiding will kill you. You can't heal in hiding. He didn't say, Adam, what have you done? But Adam, where are you, man? Come out. Here's what I'm saying. You want to take the journey to your authentic self. Come out of hiding tonight. Take the journey. Ask God to start teaching you how to love you. You're going to be more profitable to other people as well. You're going to find yourself becoming exactly what God already created you to be. You are beautiful inside and out. When God created everything in the earth, he said it was good. When he got to man, he said it's very good. He loves you. It's time for you to start loving you. So I want you to stand to your feet tonight. You receive this word? The decisions from now on that you make in your life must be made from your natural habitat. Every decision, this is the commitment I want you to make if you can make this with me. Every decision that you make, make it from your natural habitat. If you don't feel love, if you don't feel loved, if you're not aware of love, don't make the decision. Wait till love is evident in your thinking. Then ask the Lord, what shall I do? And watch what happens in your life. It's time for us to quit beating ourselves up. You know, in the Old Testament, just the Bible says the devil fought for the body of Moses. Why would he fight for Moses, Jaden? Elijah, Ezekiel, Elisha, Samuel, Nathan. He had all these problems. Why would he fight for Moses? The law. If he can keep the law alive in our hearts, he can keep condemnation alive in our hearts. What is the purpose of the law? Is to bring condemnation. Why? Because it presents you with a failure. And if all you look at is your failures, you're never going to behold the new thing that God is calling you to become. I want you to say this with me. I choose to forgive me. I choose to love me. Let that sit for a second. Just keep your head bowed. I release me from prison. I release me from captivity. I release me to love again, to be loved again. I choose to forgive my parents. Say it again. I choose to forgive my parents. God, heal every abandonment issue I have. Ooh. You're not just repeating after me. You are inviting the Holy Spirit into your world. Ooh. I want all movement stopped in the back. Whatever we're doing, I want you guys to focus in here. This, your life depends on it. It really does. Father God, come on, say, Father God, teach me to see my dad through grace. Father, teach me to see my mother through grace. Jovita, let the Holy Spirit do it, girl. I see him all over you. The mirror is going to start revealing a whole lot more now to some of you than just your failures. Ooh.